The psychedelic revolution is here. If you want to integrate your visionary experiences into your purpose, get clear on your entrepreneurial path, and help people while you do what you love, then this podcast is for you. Welcome to The Psychedelic Entrepreneur, Medicine for These Times. I'm your host, Beth Weinstein. I'm a spiritual business coach, three-time entrepreneur, and a lifelong student of psychedelics and sacred plant medicines. You carry your own unique medicine, and your medicine is what we need for these times. This podcast will help you to share your medicine so you can create transformation in the world. Listen in on conversations with psychedelic leaders, changemakers, and conscious entrepreneurs who are living proof that a better world is possible when you follow your heart and live in alignment with your soul. Hey there. Welcome back. I'm so excited to be coming to you from my Airbnb in Mexico right now to do a celebratory episode celebrating 100 episodes of this podcast and celebrating 33 years of psychedelic work and psychedelics, as well as over 100 ayahuasca ceremonies. I'm really not sure if these should be celebrated, but I thought it would really make a nice title of this episode. So before I get into what I've learned over doing 100 episodes and 33 years of psychedelics, I would really like to ask you to leave a review. It would help us reach more people, create more transformation on planet Earth, and get this message of psychedelic healing out to more people where it is so necessary now more than ever. Thank you so much for your support. So, my podcast producer mentioned, hey, you're about to do 100 episodes. Do you want to do something special? And I hadn't thought of it. So, of course, I'm like, yeah, let's go over what I've learned in 100, doing 100 episodes. And honestly, the other day I added it up. I think I've interviewed, I think it's like over 200 leaders in the psychedelic space between my podcast and my Psychedelics and Purpose Summit that I've run 4 years in a row. And then additionally, I actually started trying my best to add up how many ayahuasca ceremonies I've probably had over the past 10 years that I've been working with ayahuasca. And then additionally, my first psychedelic trip was when I was 14 years old, and that was over 30 years ago. I know I look young for my age, right? So I had kind of added it up as loosely as I could or as best as I could. And I think I've drank ayahuasca. Well, the number of times I've drank is one thing, but the number of ceremonies is another because, of course, I've drank a lot of cups at ceremonies. But it's definitely over 100. That I know. It's probably not 200. So it's somewhere between 100 and 200. It's probably around like 120 or 30 is my guess. Because when I go to the jungle and do dietas, I also work with ayahuasca by myself in between ceremonies, which is kind of my own little ceremony. It's like a way to connect with the medicine by yourself in your tambo. Anyways, but let's get into this. So what I've learned over 100 episodes. So I'll just start back with my very first psychedelic experience because it's been very interesting. I've been doing a lot of really deep work looking into my past and my childhood and a lot of my deeper places that I still haven't gotten to, even with all this work. And this has been coming up a lot lately, is to really think back on, you know, when I was 14 years old and this random guy gave me a hit of acid and I really didn't quite understand what it would do. I mean, I knew a little bit, but not much more than that. Did I know that here I would be in the middle of March 2023 as a person with a podcast about psychedelics, helping my amazing clients start and grow their psychedelic businesses? No, I didn't know this. The one thing I will say that I did know at a fairly young age, I knew that there'd be a day where psychedelics were widely available and legal in our lifetime. I used to say this. It was after I started working with mushrooms, which was also in my teenage years. That was when I said something about marijuana is going to be legal and mushrooms, because it just made sense. When you're that young and you don't really know that much, But you're working with these powerful medicines and having your first ever experiences of really feeling this connection to the plants and to the earth and to the spirits, which of course at the time I didn't really know, like, wow, this plant has a spirit. I just knew I was able to feel, I forgot the actual name, biophilia. I think that's the official name, but feel plants, like feel what it's like to have a relationship with them. I should really look that up, by the way. And I remember thinking to myself, how is this illegal? Why? I mean, yeah, it makes you see things and get kind of goofy and maybe go into some dark places, but like, how is this considered bad? It's a mushroom. And, you know, even marijuana, which I actually don't really work with cannabis now, believe it or not. But even then, it just didn't make sense that there would be a reason why someone didn't want us to have these experiences. Then I got older and started working with, you know, synthetics, which, I mean, I started with LSD. I became kind of a rave kid in my teenage years and started doing, because back then it was doing MDMA and lots of other drugs, pretty much all the drugs I've tried, almost all. And, you know, when I got to the point later in life where I revisited these substances from a spiritual perspective, from a personal growth perspective, from this healing perspective of intentional work, you know, things changed. I will say, it was interesting. I was a huge partier and I was partying a lot the summer of 2001 and I was living in New York City. And then I actually went to an incredible, one of my favorite parties ever 2 days before 9/11. It was on a Sunday night. And it was very interesting. I had this moment where we were actually, it was on a boat. There used to be this amazing boat party in New York City with great DJs. And they were on Sunday nights and it was like 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Like it was a kind of a short thing, which was really nice, especially because I had a job. And we were looking at the lower Manhattan skyline while definitely not sober. I don't remember what I was on, but something, definitely something. And alcohol, because I remember it was an open bar party. And that was part of the draw. You got open bar for the first hour, so everybody would just get really drunk and then take some drugs and dance all night on a boat. I mean, amazing, right? And then 2 days later, I, you know, witnessed 9/11 happening while working in Midtown Manhattan. And of course, that was highly traumatizing for various reasons. And after that experience, I actually took a break. I took a break from, I mean, a lot of people I knew did, because I think we were all just in shock. There was also a change in, the world and like the feeling for a while. So I really didn't party for at least a few years. I don't remember how long, but it was kind of like I just took a break. I got deeper into my spiritual work. I was already, you know, on a spiritual path, but I kind of dove into this other work of, you know, the Buddhist work, meditation, and started making these connections between that path and this other path that I've been on. You know, it was like one path was working with all these medicines and psychedelics and the party world. And then the other was this, you know, spiritual world of quieting the mind and doing a lot of self-growth and self-inquiry. And I started actually, and I'd always been an athlete, so I was also getting really into running and, I'd always exercised, but I got into endurance running, long distance running. And I started paying attention to realize that the feeling I had while running was the same feeling I had during meditation. And it was the same as a lot of these drugs that I was doing in the past. And that's where things just started coming together and making sense. This was not instantaneously. This was over a few years. And then fast forward to, you know, getting older, not that much older, you know, my 30s, but, and really seeing life differently, knowing that I couldn't really party forever. I was actually just getting sick of it. You know, I wanted a different life. I got really into running and fitness, which, you know, kind of didn't really have me wanting to go get wasted all the time. And that's where there was an exponential spiritual growth, which eventually brought me to this path of working with intentional psilocybin and ayahuasca. And I remember I was not looking for ayahuasca. I had heard about it a little. I had actually only heard like negative things, that it was really dark and you see all these crazy visions. And I was like, I don't know about that. That doesn't sound, and I heard, yeah, you throw up. This sounded terrible. You know, but then I had heard someone, long story short, a friend of mine had mentioned it to me and said, yeah, there's this place and there's a person I recommend when he comes around. And I was like, okay, I don't know. It kind of just landed in my lap. It was something I wasn't looking for. And that, of course, I went in with the intention of doing it once and only once and never again. And I really thought I would never touch it again. I thought it was going to be a one-time, once-in-my-life experience. And then I had the most powerful experience I've ever had to this day, even over 100 ceremonies later. And it's been interesting. The past couple years, I've really been sitting with this idea or this fact that I had a ceremony that was extremely powerful that I just assumed everybody had with this medicine. It actually took me about 4 years to realize that not everybody had had the kind of experiences that I had. Even that one night, even with the same facilitator, even with the same medicine itself, even with the same amount. And, you know, over the years, I've realized that not everybody has the same experiences, and some have, you know, maybe a different way of seeing visions. And not to point out that I'm unique or special, of course, now I know a lot of people who've seen a lot of the same things that I have, but, you know, it kind of made me wonder, like, how did I get here? Like, how am I sitting in an Airbnb in Mexico with my Shipibo textile hanging up, trying to make a cute background for my podcast of about psychedelics, and I'm on 100 episodes. How the hell did this happen? I never remember asking for this. I never discussed these medicines with anybody outside of the people that I did it with. You know, I knew I was here for something big in the world. I don't know, you know, I didn't know what it was when I was a kid. I still don't know what it is. And I've really been wondering about this, like, why is it that certain psychedelic leaders have been called to this path? You know, why is it that these have been so impactful to bring me to the point of wanting to coach people and help people through their experiences and start and grow their businesses and do work that they love and open their heart and live this life of purpose? And, you know, what I've learned in now 100 interviews here, 100 episodes, and then a few hundred more with my Psychedelics and Purpose Summit is that, you know, like a lot of people say, I do believe these plants and even the non-plant substances, I do believe they all have spirits and they're here for a reason during this time in history. You know, what I've seen even since that day one with ayahuasca was like there's a massive awakening happening on planet Earth. There's also massive transformation. There's a thousand different names for it. We can call it anything. It doesn't really matter what it's called. But we are here entering into a different consciousness on Earth. Whether you might only see all the chaos and craziness, there's also this beauty. There's an awakening of the human heart. You know, some say it's a, you know, an ascension process. Some say it's the expansion of consciousness. I also believe, you know, I believe all the terminology is correct because one thing I've learned over 100 episodes, we don't know shit. Like, who knows what's right or wrong? But the one thing I can feel in my body and my being that I know to be true is this awakening of the human soul to really know that there's something more, and that is the path of the heart. And really, it just comes down to this. So I could go over 100 things that I've learned in 100 episodes over, you know, psychedelic-assisted therapy and drug interactions and legalization and blah, 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 and integration. But really, you know, when I stop and think about a few hundred interviews and all the leaders I've talked to and the Paul Stamets and the Rick Doblin and Charles Eisensteins of the world, it all comes back to the same one thing. It's love. Like, there's nothing more than that. It's the path of what, you know, and again, like, people call it different things, but it's that path of the heart. It's the path of what I believe is spirit. It's the ultimate nature of our being. It's what connects us all together. It's what is creation. It literally is all. That is all there is. A Course in Miracles, which I consider myself a student of, it's like all that is real is love. You know, everything else, the fear is not real. The only thing that is real is love. You know, it's like that's all it comes down to. Everything else is illusion. You know, everything that we see as trouble or chaos or fear or crumbling, or, you know, it's all the illusion of the heart that is not centered and grounded in the path of love. And if we can somehow get more and more and more humans to awaken to the path of love, to the path of their heart, then this is actually how we could solve all the world's problems, because that's all it comes down to. Everything else, it literally is an illusion. You know, and if there's one thing I've learned from working with these powerful medicines is love. And if you haven't learned that yet and you're working with psychedelics, I would ask, like, what is going on? Because really, the whole point of turning to these sacred medicines and working with these is to awaken and open our hearts to the love and compassion and forgiveness and connection that is available to every single one of us. That is, it is in our human nature. It is literally all there is in our being. And so it's like, this is the one thing I've learned that is the most important thing. This comes, like, every answer to any question that my client has in business, in their path, in purpose, it always comes back to that one place. It's, you know, and as they say in many, many spiritual paths, it's always the path of simplicity and least resistance. You know, spirituality and awakening is not meant to be complicated or hard. It's simple. It's just like the power of love. It's super simple. Us humans, we love to overcomplicate things, and we love to make things hard, and we love to create suffering paradigms. And I know these very well because I've done it to myself for eons. You know, I'm still working through this myself. Like, okay, maybe it doesn't have to be so hard. Maybe I can always bring it back to love. You know, when bad things, I have been through the ringer the last 3 months with so many aspects of my life. Every area of my life has had some absolute chaos in it. And, you know, it's definitely been challenging. But every time I sit in the challenge, I always try to bring it back to, okay, like, what is the essence beneath all of this? And it's like, there's love. There's love. Or there's, you know, or there's a cry for love. That's usually, you know, when there's, and Course in Miracles says this too. When you observe, you know, maybe someone says something, like when I get a hater on the internet, right? I got a hater the other day. It happens here and there, not that much, but, you know, it happens. And when I read it, it stings for a second. And then I immediately go to, oh, that person is like, has a cry for, there's a cry for love. There's a lack of love. There's a reason that that person needs to project outward onto social media to someone that they don't even know, and like project some form of hatred, you know, whatever. So really, the point of this, after doing 100 episodes, is that is the number one thing I've learned, not just through these episodes, but just through walking this sacred medicine path. Love, love, love. That's it. And it's not about spiritual bypass. It's about what are you committed to? What is this path that you're walking? What is it you want to see in the world? You know, when people complain about racism and income disparity and pollution and the environment and climate change, it all comes back to love. It's like if we were just connected to spirit, the earth, ourselves, the path of our heart, it's like maybe all these solutions would emerge. Maybe we would change the way we do things, and maybe actually things could just evolve and go in the right direction. But we need to get more people on board. And that's why I do believe that these medicines are quite important for this time that we're in. This is also why my podcast is called Medicine for These Times. You know, it's like these medicines are growing exponentially for these times that we live in for a reason. And it's not, you know, I just did an episode with someone yesterday and I said, look, it's not about fixing the depression or hiding the PTSD or the anxiety. It's like, what's at the root of the depression and the anxiety in our society? You know, like what's underneath that? What is the cause? You know, people think, oh, we just need to fix the depression. No, actually, these medicines help us get to what's underneath the depression that's causing the depression, the root cause. You know, it's the ultimate healing is not masking something with medicines or ketamine or alcohol or antidepressants or anything, or even psilocybin or ayahuasca. It's about really doing the work to get to the layers underneath and bring them up and have them be seen with love and compassion. And yeah, it's freaking challenging sometimes. But this is the work that I believe that we're all called to do. And that's, I believe, the solution to the world's problems. The other thing, as I mentioned, that I have learned over the years is that we also don't know anything. Like, we're all small little babies in the grand scheme of being a human on planet Earth, especially in this psychedelic field or this psychedelic ecosystem, as people call it. We don't know anything. We're still like literally newborns. We're all trying to figure it out. No one's got it. No one knows what to do. And remember that everybody who's trying to shape this industry and take it into hopefully the right direction, remember they're all just human beings trying their best, you know? I mean, yeah, maybe some are greedier than others and maybe some don't have the right, you know, the value systems that align with you. That's called being human. I do not believe, I don't know, maybe in thousands of years, but right now on this time on Earth, I don't believe we are here to force each other to believe one thing. It's like we actually have to just have compassion for the fact that there's going to be a variety of human beings co-creating the psychedelic space together. And that might mean people that have totally different values than you. And guess what? That's actually okay. You know, we all have a choice to choose the path of love or the path of division. You know, the path of polarization or the path of unity. And, you know, like many indigenous elders that I've worked with, they don't distinguish between, you know, white man versus native man. They're like, they're just all about unity, like for the greater good, for the earth, you know, like the prayers are heard by spirit regardless of what you believe in. You know, you could be the biggest anti-vaxxer on the planet and, you know, maybe some people hate you and all that, but like God still loves you and hears your prayers. So who are we to judge? Who are we to divide? Who are we to say what's right or wrong? Because honestly, no one knows. Like literally no human being knows. There is no one way. And I do believe we're all trying to figure our way through this, as they say, the birth canal. And not just the birth canal of the psychedelic space, but the birth canal of, we are literally birthing an entirely new planet right now. And of course, for anybody, I have not given pregnancy, given birth before. But it's a messy process and the labor can be very long and intensive. And we really have to have compassion for each other on this journey, especially in this psychedelic space that can be so heated with different opinions and different, this is the way, or this is the only way, or this is the right way, or that's bad, and this is good. And, you know, it's like, who's to say what's right or wrong? I highly recommend going and doing a search under your favorite search engine for the Chinese parable, at least this is how I know it, of the horse, the man with the horse. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where it's like his son comes and he has a horse and then something happens and, you know, and it's the Chinese farmer parable, I think is what it is. And then he says, who's to say what's right or wrong? Who's to say what's right or wrong? Who's to say what's right or wrong? And I actually say that all the time. You know, it's like, who's to say what's right or wrong with anything? You might not like who is your elected official, or you might not agree with, you know, how something is going in the psychedelic space, or you might not like, you know, your friend that believes this totally different thing than you. But who's to say what's right or wrong? We do not know. There's no one person in charge of planet Earth, other than I believe spirit and Earth herself, So who are we to project our ego onto this process? So these are the only like real two important things I've learned over 100 episodes is like the most simple things. We're babies. We have to give ourselves compassion, and it all comes back to love. You know, the rest, I could talk for hours and hours about all the little things I've learned about integration and growing a business and putting yourself out there and all the things I've learned with working with all my clients who are starting and growing psychedelic businesses. But you know what? I do that all the time. I have many episodes discussing psychedelic integration coaching, psychedelic businesses. I have a free training on my website. I do workshops about starting and growing psychedelic businesses all the time. And I actually have 3 different coaching programs, or 4, all about this. So I really wanted to bring it back to what's the most important thing here. And really, you know, this is all you need in the end, is the love and compassion for yourself, for others, for this path, to trust really deeply, you know, develop, if you don't already have this connection, develop a connection with spirit, with earth. And as I say to my clients in my mastermind program and my other programs, I always say, look, you're stuck on something, go talk to a plant. Go ask for guidance. You know, talk to your spirit guides. All the answers are truly inside. And yeah, I'm just here to help you move through this, not feel alone, like have the right support, bring it into the 3D and make it work. But in the end, it's like, it's all about going inside that path of our hearts, that path of love, and what's calling you, what's pulling you in that direction. And this is the message I have, you know, hopefully for any other psychedelic leaders or people stepping into the psychedelic space. It's really like, let's all just try to remember what's actually most important here. And that's the number one of like why, you know, when I look at why the hell was I brought onto this path? Here I am, digital nomading for a few months, recording 100 episode podcast in Mexico talking about psychedelics. You know, I didn't know I was going to be here 15, 20, 30 years ago, or even 10 years ago, or even when I started as a business coach. I did not know this is the path I would be going on. But, you know, when I look back on that journey, it's like, well, I have always been really committed to the path of the heart since I was a kid. I could feel it as a little kid. For those of you who've attended any of my workshops, I've talked about this before, where I knew at a very young age we were like not just here to move through life by going through the motions and doing what we're told, but being miserable just to get by, just to buy a house, and just to retire and die. It didn't make sense. And I knew there had to be something more to being a human being. I knew, and I could feel it, and that was my heart. I could feel the desires. I could feel the pull. I could feel what lit me up. And that is all I want for all human beings. This is not just available to certain people. You know, I was totally flat broke multiple times in my life, and I somehow still made it through and got to where I am today. So it is actually available to everybody, and you don't need anything other than your heart and your soul. That's the beauty and the blessing of the world that we're in today. You know, all it takes is you and your willingness and your effort to try and take one little step at a time. And to also ask yourself constantly, like, what is that that you value? And for me, it was the path of the heart. And I said, wait, I want this for every human being. I actually believe we would have world peace if everybody was just happy doing what they loved. Meaning, hey, at least we supposedly spend a third of our life working. So why can't we actually feel fulfilled and happy and connected in our work for at least, you know, taking care of that one third part of our life? And that's where I can see a lot of potential, is if everybody at least follows that path from the heart, you know, we have some of the problem solved, you know, and then there's a lot more to tackle. But do you know what I mean? And that's where I believe this is how I got here. This is that commitment I have to what I'm constantly talking about in my workshops, this golden triangle of you're here, your ideal clients are here, but there's this point at the top that is the larger mission that you have on planet Earth. What you want to see change in the world? What is it you want to see for all humans, all beings, for this earth? And that's my prayer. And that's all it comes down to, one simple thing. And that is all I've learned in 100 episodes and 100 and something ayahuasca ceremonies and 33 years of psychedelics. And honestly, you know, you can do psychedelics freaking every week till you die, and it will always bring you back to the same place. It's the path of least resistance. It's that one path of simplicity. It's like, oh yeah, there's that reminder again. There's that reminder again. There's that reminder again. Super simple. So I'm so thankful for my amazing podcast producer, who is also an incredible medicine woman, who, by the way, is also available for psychedelic integration coaching. She is a certified psychedelic integration coach, and I cannot recommend her enough. And I just want to make a major shout out to her for coming up with this idea of what have you learned over 100 episodes? And it's just beautiful to look back on my life and have so much reverence and gratitude for the sacred plants, for this life, for being of service to you, to the earth, to humanity, to all these changes and transitions during these very potent times. You are the medicine for these times, and we need your medicine. Thank you so much. Again, I would really appreciate a review. Takes 2 seconds. Means a lot to me. And I will see you next Tuesday with another episode. I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you're feeling inspired, I'd appreciate it if you showed your love with a review. And check out my YouTube channel, where you can find the video version of this podcast. You can also head to BethAWeinstein.com to learn more about me and grab my free business growth trainings. Remember, you carry your own unique medicine, and your medicine is what we need for these times.